Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour as we continue on talking about the prophetic word fresh from Morningstar Ministries, Rick Joyner, about America needing to turn. If it doesn't turn, he's saying he's serving the Lord, it's going to burn, and some of the things that we've seen as well. Joining me in the Extra Hour is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And joining us in just a few will be John Ramos. We are intensely wanting to bring hope to you. And if you hold on as we're sharing these words, we're going to talk to you about a third great awakening. There are sounds of a great awakening. It's tremors of it. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. Well, there's tremors of a great awakening that we're going to be talking about that is beginning to just tremble in the hearts of the hungry and the desperate. Mm. And we'll be talking about them, but we're going to continue on with a prophetic word that several prophetic words as we're talking are all coming together, this great convergence. But this is a fresh word that is the foundation of this conversation that we started in the beginning of the first hour, and we're just gradually, you know, introducing it to you and just telling you we're hearing it as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick up where we left off. It's really important that this lays a foundation for the next part of the word, but he says that the founding fathers warned that the republic could only be maintained by a moral and religious people. They assured us that we could not survive as a republic with the kind of moral meltdown that we are now suffering and a departure from a core religious devotion that we have had. We have not only lost these, but the nation has become increasingly hostile to those of faith. Without another great awakening, we will not survive as a republic much longer. The good news is that there's signs of another great awakening coming. And this is where it begins to talk about the foundations are burning. A couple of years ago, this is Rick Joyner speak, is his prophetic word written down, is him speaking. A couple of years ago, I had a vivid dream of America. In the dream, America was a log cabin, and every room in the cabin was a different part of America. I was being taken through it on a guided tour of each room. As we were going, little fires would break out, which my guides would just stamp out and continue on as if it was normal. I was very disturbed by this, so I looked through one of the holes that had been burned through the floor to see what was causing the fires. I was astonished to see the entire foundation of the house on fire. I knew that the entire house was either very close to collapse or exploding into flames. This is our present condition.
So hold on. So let's describe that a little bit. So these little fires are coming through the floor, and so it looks like originally these are just fires starting in rooms or parts of America, but when you look under the log cabin, it was like on a stove, a fiery flame. Yeah, the whole cabin was on fire.
Yeah.
Underneath
yeah.
was on fire. And it was just coming through a little bit. So the things we're seeing right now in America, prophetically, what he's saying is that's coming from this huge furnace of fire underneath America right now. And we're just seeing little things pop up here and there. But if you pull back America, spiritually speaking, you would see that our foundation is on fire.
Wow. Yeah.
Right?
And man's futile attempt to stamp it, you know, stomp out some little flame that's happening. Let me tell you something. It's all on fire.
How guilty are we quite often for just dealing with what the little shallow things and not getting to the source?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, what's the root cause of this? Why do I do what I do? What is happening here? Why is this continuing to go on? You know, what's happening in this region? Why does that type of thing?
Yeah. So he continues that this is our present condition and we do not have much time left. In this dream, I wanted to run from the house. I was told not to run, but to grab a hose and put the fire out. This gave me the courage to think that the fire could yet be put out and the house could be preserved without total destruction. In Scripture, water often represents the Word of God, and this dream indicates that this is the only thing that can save us. I mean, we've said it, you know, so many times that it's the word, it's God's word, and we have to abide with God. When you're hearing that from George Barna's stats that only 19% of believers are actually in the word of God and only 3% find that it's their spiritual responsibility, their own spiritual responsibility for their own spiritual development, We're in trouble. The word of God, we need to return back to the true foundation. He goes on to say that even as far as we have drifted from morality and religion, yet and still over 90% of Americans still believe in God, and over 65% claim to be born-again Christians. If these are awakened, we could yet survive. We would still need to do a lot of work to restore what has been consumed in our foundations, but that would be much better than losing the entire house.
So you think about it. It makes me think now what God just said to Steve Hill, what's taking place and preparing for it. And God showed him it's a spiritual avalanche, and he wrote it out in a book. We want to be able to hear this warning now because it lines up with what we're hearing, and he just heard this. So we want you to listen to a spiritual avalanche, this warning that came from Steve Hill at the point of it. Listen to this. Many are deeply troubled over the condition of their church and the critical compromise of our culture. Something must be done. The vision you're about to hear has been released in writing. The response, the worldwide response, is overwhelming. Now, with ears to hear, please allow this word from the Lord to give you clear instruction for the perilous years ahead.
The spiritual avalanche that could kill millions. This is coming to you from a man who has just passed through the valley of the shadow of death. Since my close call with eternity just a short while ago, everything has become clearer. I can hear his whisper. Unabated obedience has become my mandate. That is why I'm writing this word from the Lord. Recently, after enjoying quality time with Jesus, I was surprised by an alarming vision. I saw a massive, majestic mountain covered in glistening snow. It reminded me of the Matterhorn in the Swiss Alps. Its peaks were sparkling white, and I was amazed by God's attention to detail. It was so realistic, I wanted to go skiing. But I sensed that there was more that the Holy Spirit was about to reveal. As I closed my eyes, I was in a winter wonderland, bustling with thousands of vacationers. The ski lodge, condos, hotels, and cabins were at full capacity at this popular resort. Day quickly turned to night as the skiers, snowboarders, and sports enthusiasts were settling in. Anticipation grew as the snow began to fall. Everyone headed to bed believing tomorrow would be a day of sheer enjoyment on freshly covered slopes. For an avid skier, the exhilaration of being the first one to race down a new blanket of snow is a dream come true. Throughout the night, winter storms dropped several feet of new snow on the slopes. The night ski patrol was put on full alert. Their mission was clear. With the potential of killer avalanches, they took to their posts. I began to weep as the vision continued to unfold along with its spiritual application. The ski patrol operated like a well-trained platoon. Some boarded helicopters manned with small bombs. Others jumped on snowmobiles loaded with handheld explosive devices. What seemed to be a strategic group of sharpshooters were stationed at the base, maneuvering anti-tank weapons aimed at the snow-covered peaks. They fired their weapons at strategic points in the avalanche zone to force avalanches before the snow accumulated to a life-threatening depth. Left unchecked, the accumulation of heavy, dense snow packed on top of lighter snow could easily slide down with incredible speed and force, resulting in enormous damage and loss of life. The Lord began to speak. I trembled. The fresh new snow represented the false teaching that is steadily falling on the ears of the body of Christ. It has been and is a heavy snowfall. The skiers represented believers and non-believers, trusting the resort for a safe and memorable experience. As Christians, we have been warned to be sober and vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8. However, the present awe-inspiring teachings have lulled many into a deeper sleep. The layers upon layers of snow have been steadily covering the solid traditional truth of Christ. The truth is that foolish teaching in these days will become so fashionable, even the most dedicated believer could become deceived. Matthew 24:24. It's happening before our eyes. One spiritual leader said the other day, "You guys are old-fashioned holiness. We are modern-day grace. You live in bondage while we can do anything we want." Pastors and teachers worldwide have succumbed to heretical teachings, including universal reconciliation, deification of man, challenging the validity of the Word of God, including His judgments, and even lifting any boundaries, claiming His amazing grace is actually amazing freedom. You are free to live according to your own desires. Sound familiar? They had no king and did what was right in their own eyes. Judges 17:6. These popular self-proclaimed ministers of the gospel are covering the slopes and will be held accountable for the spiritual death of millions. Just as a ski patrol did in this vision, those who are aware of what's happening must take swift and accurate action. Their weapons of warfare must be aimed at the peaks and the avalanche terrain to dispel the lies. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers must be willing to drop spiritual bombs, fire anti-heresy missiles, and even drive into the danger zones armed with explosive truth to confront this avalanche. The generals of this generation must leave the war room and put their years of experience on the front line. Friend, I humbly encourage you to heed this vision and take it before the Lord. I've written it just as it was given. My responsibility is to share with the body of Christ His words to me. The ears that hear and the hands that obey are out of my control. This is not just Steve Hill telling a story. Most of what the Lord shares with me is personal and remains in my heart. But I sincerely believe that this is a warning for this hour. Satan is snowing the saints, but it can be stopped. In the vision, I heard explosions. I saw dedicated Christian soldiers scrambling to do anything it took to bring down this avalanche before devastation occurred. One of the most powerful weapons we possess to combat this onslaught is the tongue. Let God set yours ablaze by preaching all the words in red. If we take action now, the result will be a tearing down of false teaching and a remaining layer of solid, God-given, biblical instruction that will save the lost, heal the sick, and strengthen Christians to do the true work of the ministry.
You're listening to Steve Hill and a vision that he just had, like December of 2012, January 2000, 13 when he began to share it. And now this whole year he's delivering it. And he has a book out. You can go to the VFN Torch and you could see Spiritual Avalanche. That is, listen, we're all hearing this. Listen, this is what God says. And we're going to have a break and come right back. And we're going to continue. A new day is going to dawn after this. But there's hope, but we got to do right towards our Father. We're going to have to honor. If I'm your Father, where's my honor is what he says in Malachi. And what Jesus said about the religious folk, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he says, yeah, you're listening to your Father all right, the Father of lies. See, if we're following, he's talking about Satan as the Father of lies, then we got to make our choice. Who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to follow? And if you're following God, then Jesus is the Master, the Lord, the leader, the King of your life. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back with this prophetic word.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I am pastor of a home church, and we have not filled out the paperwork to get a federal ID tax number. The question is, can the people who donate to our church deduct that from their taxes?
Churches are automatically tax-exempt under the Internal Revenue Code, Section 508. I'm not sure whether you need an ID number or not, but I wouldn't be too concerned about getting an ID number if, in fact, it's required. But what is important for you to know is that you're automatically tax-exempt as a church. If it's a legitimate church activity and a legitimate church structure, you have services, you have worship, you have baptisms, you have communion, these kind of things that make it a legitimate church organization, you're automatically tax-exempt. That means the donations made by your contributors, members of the congregation, are automatically tax deductible.
If you have a legal question or concern, visit us on our website at aclj.org.
It's been, you know, I've been serving the Lord for some time now. I guess it's 1986 when I had just God called my name. You can find out more about that at meetmyfather.org, where I share my testimony. I was a deputy on the streets, but it's amazing. The more you walk with people and you walk with the Lord, and it's like some people are just like seasonal. They're like, they're on fire for God, you know, and they're saying they're ready to go after God. But, you know, after 5 years or maybe 10, but normally five, you know, I know that others, you know, have said, you know, around 5 years or something, you know, we get tempted to just kind of lay back and just kind of, you know, coast if you could. And really, I believe that you're never sitting still. You're either going back or going forward. There's no sitting still. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we're supposed to, so people look at you shocked when they go, you're still preaching the gospel? Yes. Why would you ever change? We're going to see the Lord. I mean, every second of life we have left, you know, we want to do everything we can for him because he laid down his life for us. And we'll spend eternity pondering why we wasted one moment on anything else but him, because we'll have eternity to think about these few years that we have. You know, I think about Steve Hill. Remember when Steve Hill was talking about that, and he was talking about people coming up to him as well and saying, you know, they're talking about laying back. It's not time to lay back. It's time to lean forward. Listen to Steve. I'll be right back.
They say, people come up and say, you haven't changed. You haven't changed. It's because that seed, if it's an apple seed, that's going to produce an apple, okay? And Steve Hill, and I can see Peter Wagner, is not going to get out there and in midstream go, you know something, this has been good.
No.
It's been good, but there's a whole different avenue, and there's a whole different teaching that's coming down the pike. And I want to be a part of that.
Listen, you know, religion is hard, but like Steve is saying, it's not time to sit back and just and pause and say, I'm not going to do anything. It's time to quit being religious and do it in a way that's just natural. And let's enjoy this thing called the kingdom of God. Let's enjoy each other. Let's be family and love each other, love God, and lead other people to love God. It's not as hard as religion. You can't keep on carrying on a huge, you know, big traditional thing and physically sustain that, but you can just love people and love God and lead others to the same. It's not that complicated, is it?
Right. No.
If that's you, if you wanted to continue, you know, you thought about giving up, you thought about saying, hey, I'm just rest on what I've done, or you're thinking maybe that you're beyond use in your life, you are not. As long as you have breath, as long as you love God, as long as you love others, listen, you know, you are a servant of God. You're a minister of God. Everybody is called to minister. Maybe you're called to relate to us. or another network, maybe Chase Network or another network. But find out more at Vine Fellowship Network. That's VFNFamily.org. VFN, that's a V as in Victor, VFNFamily.org. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation. That stand with us prayerfully and financially. To just partner on a monthly basis. To financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We are delivering to you a fresh prophetic word, a convergence, if you would, of just so many words and visions that's taking place. We're right in the middle of sharing a prophetic word from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, and we're about to talk about a new day will dawn, but I first feel led that you need to hear David Wilkerson about anguish. Listen, if we're not broken over the condition, then that means there's not a mark on us that God would keep us in the storm. But if you're broken over it, and some of you, you've been broken, you were broken at a point in time, and finally you just got tired of being broken because nobody else was broken about it, so you decided not to be broken. But that was the moment you decided not to have a mark on you, a protection that he talks about in his word in Ezekiel, that he comes down and those that are brokenhearted over the condition of his people, then he will actually, you're having the heart of God with that.
Yeah.
And so he will actually, you know, protect you in what's about to come. Listen to this word, and then we're going to go and talk about, but we need to have an anguish over a fire underneath America and the things that we're hearing, these prophetic words, and the fall of the economy that we can turn now. And the key is you first have to be sorrowful for the condition. Listen, this is David Wilkerson, Call to Anguish.
And I look at the whole religious scene today, and all I see are the inventions and ministries of man and flesh. It's mostly powerless. It has no impact on the world. And I see more of the world coming into the church and impacting the church rather than the church impacting the world. I see the music taking over the house of God. I see entertainment taking over the house of God. An obsession with entertainment in God's house, a hatred of correction and a hatred of reproof. Nobody wants to hear it anymore. Whatever happened to anguish in the house of God? Whatever happened to anguish in the ministry? It's a word you don't hear in this pampered age. You don't hear it. Anguish means extreme pain and distress. The emotion so stirred that it becomes painful, acute, deeply felt inner pain because of conditions about you, in you or around you. Anguish, deep pain, deep sorrow, agony of God's heart. We've held on to our religious rhetoric and our revival talk, but we've become so passive. All true passion is born out of anguish. All true passion for Christ comes out of a baptism of anguish. You search the scripture and you'll find that when God determined to recover a ruined situation, he would share his own anguish for what God saw happening to his church and to his people. And he would find a praying man, and he would take that man and literally baptize him in anguish. You find it in the book of Nehemiah. Jerusalem is in ruins. How is God going to deal with this? How is God going to restore the ruin? Now, folks, look at me. Nehemiah was not a preacher. He was a career man. But this was a praying man. And God found a man who would not just have a flash of emotion, not just some great sudden burst of concern and then let it die. He said, no, I broke down and I wept and I mourned and I fasted. And then I began to pray night and day. Why didn't these other men, why didn't they have an answer? Why didn't God use them in restoration? Why didn't they have a word? Because there was no sign of anguish, no weeping, not a word of prayer. It's all ruin. Does it matter to you today? Does it matter to you at all that God's spiritual Jerusalem, the church, is now married to the world? That there's such a coldness sweeping the land? Closer than that, does it matter about the Jerusalem that's in our own hearts? The sign of ruin that's slowly draining spiritual power and passion, blind to lukewarmness, blind to the mixture that's creeping in. That's all the devil wants to do, is get the fight out of you and kill it. So you won't labor in prayer anymore. You won't weep before God anymore. You can sit and watch television and your family go to hell. Let me ask you, is what I just said convicted you at all? There's a great difference between anguish and concern. Concern is something that you, the biggest interest you. You take an interest in a project or a cause or a concern or a need. And I'm going to tell you something I've learned over all my years, 50 years of preaching. If it is not born in anguish, if it has not been born by the Holy Spirit, where when you saw and heard of the ruin that drove you to your knees, took you down into a baptism of anguish where you began to pray and seek God. I know now. Oh my God, do I know it. Until I'm in agony. Until I have been anguished over it. And all our projects, all our ministries, everything we do. Where are the Sunday school teachers that weep over kids they know are not hearing and they're going to hell? You see, a true prayer life begins at the place of anguish. You see, if you set your heart to pray, God's going to come and start sharing your heart, His heart with you. Your heart begins to cry out, oh God, your name is being blasphemed. The Holy Spirit's being mocked. The enemy is out trying to destroy the testimony of the Lord's faithfulness, and something has to be done. There's going to be no renewal, no revival, no awakening until we're willing to let Him once again break us. Folks, it's getting late and it's getting serious. Please don't tell me you're concerned when you're spending hours in front of internet or television. Come on. Lord, there's somebody to get this altar and confess. I am not what I was. I am not where I'm supposed to be. God, I don't have your heart or your burden. I wanted it easy. I didn't want to be happy. But Lord, true joy comes. True joy comes out of anguish. There's nothing of the flesh will give you joy. I don't care how much money, I don't care what kind of new house there is. Absolutely nothing physical could give you joy. It's only what is accomplished by the Holy Spirit when you obey Him and take on His heart. Build the walls around your family. Build the walls around your own heart. Make you strong and impregnable against the enemy. God, that's what we desire.
You're listening to David Wilkerson, A Call to Anguish. Listen, these days that we were telling you about and talking to you about, why aren't we broken over them?
Yeah.
Why are you okay with a deceived church, a false doctrine. 81% of professed believers not even reading their Bible, and the 19% that are reading it, only 3% of those are concerned about their heart while they're reading it. So that some the others are just reading it for knowledge and information. With 80% of those regular churchgoers, which is once every 2 weeks, says that worship is about them and not about God. When 97% of regular church attenders are robbing God, like Achan, of his tithes and offerings, according to George Barna, why aren't we anguished? Why aren't we anguished with broadcasting the gospel of grace while we're living in hell? Why are we okay with carnivals and parties and bands when nobody hears the voice of the Lord? Why are we okay with not hearing the voice of the Lord? Why don't you want to hear what God has to say? Why aren't we in anguish over the condition? Because hell is real. And everyone who does not turn will burn. And that's what this word is about.
Yeah.
It's a false doctrine that tells you that you can live like the devil and end up with God.
Yeah.
It's a false doctrine. It's a false doctrine. You can't live like the devil, date the devil, marry the devil, and think that you're the bride of Christ. I don't care what prayer you said. I don't care what school you went to at one time. The truth is, you can walk away from the faith. But let me tell you something. Once you get that understanding, now you know what you got to do is turn back.
That's right.
To your first love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's called deception.
Yes.
It's called deception. You've been deceived.
And we talked about it yesterday. Remember, we talked about what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24. Many will be deceived.
That's right. Anguish.
Yes. Lord, give us anguish.
Yes. Lord, baptize us. Baptize us with anguish, God. Yes. Baptize us with anguish.
Do what you got to do what God's called you to do. And the day he's called you to do it, risk everything because it will cost you everything.
Everything.
I heard
an interview yesterday, Misty Edwards talking about her new book, What's the Point? And she's talking about how she was diagnosed with cancer at 19 and then 6 years later came back. And she says, you know, the interviewer was asking her, says, that probably was horrible. She says, you know what? It was a gift. She said, because when you're facing eternity, you can die at any moment. You're asking God the question, have I fulfilled the purpose that you've called me to do by age 19? Have I done everything? Everything changes. And you know, why are we complacently living, vicariously living through other people? I'm talking about believers here. We have our own purpose and destiny in God. God knit you in your mother's womb because he has a purpose for your life to fulfill. It's to know him and to make him known.
And the author of Crazy Love,
Francis Chan,
says, and nobody makes a decision till they realize eternity's in the balance. And so what does the devil do? He deceives you in saying that eternity is not in the balance, so it doesn't matter what decision you make, and then you don't make a decision, and he deceived, and it did matter, because why would God even do it if eternity was in the balance? Eternity means this. He wants you to be with him forever. He
ever,
loves you.
Ever,
he loves you.
Ever.
He has good plans in store for you, but you got to choose to be his. We've been sharing a prophetic word, and we're going to continue on from Rick Joyner, fresh from the Prophetic Journal. And understand that God is going to, there's going to be a new dawn coming. And he goes on to talk about, we talked about the difficulty and that it can, if we turn, then it won't happen. And we're God's going to have to raise up someone because there's nobody presently on the horizon, that's what he's saying, that can do this. But God, obviously God can do that in a moment, actually in a twinkling of an eye. But a new dawn is coming. Listen, the church is going to survive. The kingdom of God is going to survive.
That's right.
You may not be able to wear your American jacket, You know what I'm saying? It'll be made in something. But realize America's only 5% of the world's population, but probably 98% of its pride. You know, all these products we wear are made by other countries. We just don't want to go there. Don't want to go there. But understand this. If we humble ourselves and repent for our pride, then God will restore us because we're blessed. We're just a blessed land, and we can keep it. But the new dawn is coming. How does he go on to say in this prophetic word?
He said the good news is that the kingdom is coming with or without America. It would be much easier for the whole world for America to remain as a fortress for freedom, such as it has been. But the kingdom of God will come regardless. We are told that the foundations of the Lord's throne are righteousness and justice. See Psalms 89:14. Righteousness is doing what is right in the sight of the Lord, not man. What is now politically correct is in direct conflict with God's word. In Galatians 1:10, the Apostle Paul said that if he were still trying to please men, he would not be a bondservant of Christ. The same is true for us. We must all determine whether we will live to please the Lord or men. We cannot do both. As the apostle also affirmed that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account, 2 Corinthians 5:10. And the truth is that we need to return to a healthy fear of the Lord. I mean, we need that in our lives. Let that be your prayer. We don't need more houses and things and stuff. We need the fear of the Lord.
Yes.
Because if you fear man, you're going to serve man. So John Bevere said, but if you fear God, you're going to serve God. And he's the only one that matters, right? He's the only one that counts. It's God.
The kingdom of God is not contingent upon the kingdom of America. Kingdom of America, has just been a blessing from God and a gift from God. And, you know, if you don't appreciate the giver who gave the gift, then he says that I'll tell a nation to rise up, and I'll tell a nation who turns against me to take it down.
Yeah.
And he says, listen, you need to go. If you haven't yet gone to VFNTV, go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV on there and watch these prophetic teachings that have gone out. Realize what we're talking to you about, God has shown us in detail. One particular prophetic teaching that you would hear is a tale of two kings. A tale of two kings. Right now, the church is choosing, along with the Americans are choosing, is government. They're choosing Saul over Samuel. And you need to understand that that's actually not rejecting anybody but God when we do that. And another is America under God's judgment? And there's three phases of judgment. And right now we're in the last phase of that. But you need to hear that because it's the evidence. You need to hear the evidence. You need to know in your heart what's going on through God's word so you can lock in your faith and understand what does turn mean, because quite often people say I turned, but they didn't change a thing. Another is the Elijah storm. Understand that before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, I will send Elijah, the spirit of Elijah, and he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children of the fathers, or else I'll smite the earth with the curse. The Elijah storm. Listen, you're listening to somebody right now for 10 years prophesied the Malachi mandate so loud and so intensely, because God was just compelling me, that it was heard all the way from the Gulf Coast all the way to Indore, India, and World Vision. A governor began to change his speech based on the word. It was radiating. People from other states began to say, isn't this the month for the Malachi mandate, basically? But it says, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. And nobody didn't turn. Didn't turn. And you got to hear these prophetic words and prudent preparation. I'm in these orders. I'm talking to you. Watch these. Watch or listen, whatever they are on VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com and click. Your menu up there has VFNTV. We're not talking about the radio, VFNTV. And you can watch these teachings. And you need to be prepared. You need to know why you need to be prepared. But what God is speaking to me about, and we're fixing to go to break in this moment, and we'll come right back. But what we're talking to you about is it looks inevitable. Looks inevitable, but hold on. The kingdom of God will be sustained and things will be good. And there'll be a differentiation between those that are God's, possessive-wise, that we're loyal to God, and those who are not loyal to God. They're loyal to religion. You'll see a difference there. And God protects those that are His. Those that are His. And you're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back with these messages. But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe that, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function. And realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people. I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God, you can go back and watch that on VFN TV, maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too, mm-hmm. who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ. You loved each other. You ate together. You blessed each other. You blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so, when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name, and it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation, mm-hmm. and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go, and there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me, so I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, serving, helping him or her carry that load. And if I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week, and it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And and I just want to encourage you. You know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. This is a serious broadcast as we are speaking. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We have been delivered almost nonstop since the beginning of the first hour, a prophetic word that just shaking us. It's just convergence. It's a convergence. Yeah.
So continuing with Rick Joyner, he's saying, as we came back from the break, between one-third and one-half of the teachings on righteousness in Scripture are devoted to economics. It was to the degree that America's aligned with the principles that we experienced economic prosperity. As we have departed from them, the shaking began and will continue until we either realign with them or collapse. While we were aligned, we were the greatest creditor nation in history. As soon as we turned from the basic principles of biblical righteousness, we went into debt, and we now have the biggest debt in the history of the world. The scriptures are true, and they are always true. The kingdom will come either way. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. And it will bring the whole world into alignment to what is right and works best for everyone. Justice must work with righteousness because it is not right if it does not treat everyone fairly, with everyone playing by the same rules. Our economic shaking began because we got out of alignment with what is right and just on both ends, at the top and at the bottom. This is what our founding fathers warned about. They fear both the tyranny of a king, the top, and the tyranny of the mob, the bottom, and set up firewalls to keep both of these in check. When these firewalls were torn down, the inevitable shaking began. The founders were not so brilliant in their architecture of the new government because they foresaw the modern economic system that has evolved, but because they knew basic human nature that is the same as today as it was in their times. The founders had remarkable insight into the sources of tyranny from the top or the bottom of society. They had been subjected to the oppression of King George and had witnessed the horrors of mob that fueled the French Revolution. The kingdom is coming because the King, Jesus, is going to come. He is both righteousness and just. As the scriptures affirm, he is not just going to restore righteousness and just government throughout the earth. He is going to restore the earth to the paradise it was originally created to be, so that even the lion will lay down with the lambs and the children will be able to play with cobras and no one will hurt anyone else. We have been given a hope that is greater than any other religion or philosophy ever, ever conceived, and it is a sure hope that it will surely come to pass. When we begin to see the kingdom, it is very hard not to be bored with everything going on in the earth. However, we must get engaged to be faithful to our calling, to be salt and the light in this world, and to help prepare the way for the Lord and his coming kingdom. Nothing in the whole creation will ever be as interesting as the Creator. And nothing in this world will be as interesting as his kingdom, but we have a duty. He so cares about this world that he has declared that he is going to make his home on earth and dwell on earth and among men. Just thinking about this makes it hard to think about anything else. But we do have work to do to prepare for him. In Matthew 6, 31 through 34, the king gave us some important instructions. And he tells us not to be anxious. What shall we eat? Saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Rick goes on to say that we must be resolved to seek the kingdom first. He promises that if we do this, everything else will be taken care of. Anxiety is a desperate enemy of those who are called to walk by faith and not by fear. Those who are building their lives in his kingdom have the peace of God with which the world cannot ever comprehend. Never lose your peace. After the election last year, terrible anxiety came upon many Christians. We must never let this happen again. The Prince of Peace will never leave us with anxiety, so anything we do out of anxiety will not be right. The only word I was given after the election was Psalm 37. It is a remarkable message about this. Read it and be comforted and resolve that you will never let anything steal your peace. And that's Rick Jordan right there.
And Morning Star, and a fresh prophetic word from his journal, and it's so important. And what comes to my mind is Revelation when he says, blessed is he who's not offended by his judgments. Get offended by, you know, Father having to do some stuff to get things right. Don't get offended. Realize you've already won, even though it may not look like it in the natural sense. Secondly, when you hear justice, that causes a church that's untaught to tremble because they haven't taught you about the cross. And so, also, that one of the prophetic teachings you need to hear is no one cries for justice. Listen, there's not going to be the justice that we need until we begin to cry out for it. But we're not going to cry out for it if we think the gavel from the judge is going to land on our head.
Mm.
But if we don't go to the cross rightly, it will. And so you need to hear that, because it'll put things into perspective, because Jesus, the judgment for our sin... Now listen, not something that you said once. I mean, you got to deal with your sin now at the cross. If you carry that to the cross and you say, Lord, you're the Lord of my life. I'm going to follow you. You're mine. I want to know your ways. I'm going to be the ones that read the word and do what you say. And I'm going to pray to you. I'm going to abide with you. Then at that, you're forgiven.
Yeah.
You're forgiven. And the gavel, you can cry out for justice. And God will bring justice. But listen, even in that turmoil, many people will come to the cross, and they too will be forgiven. God wants to forgive you today. You just need to come to him. You can go to meetmyfather.org and find out a couple of our stories to find out also about that. We want to encourage you for the fact, because in the word, if you heard, and there's always this, God loves you. God loves the people in this land and has a plan for your life, but you have to choose to move in that plan. And the plan is this, that plan is to bless you. And to prosper you and to restore the years the locust had devoured. But it requires, the very first thing is that we repent. We acknowledge his lordship, and he sends refreshing, times of refreshing upon us. And it's called an awakening in such a way. An awakening is not a revival. An awakening changes the DNA of a nation. This is going to require a spiritual reboot for the church. And we got to get back to the original intent of the church. And so this is not like go paint your building or something. This is actually deal with our hearts. But understand that what's going to happen here, if we go after God, and it's God's love for us that empowers us, and our faith in his finished work on the cross that loses his spirit in a way to be able to empower us to make decisions we couldn't make outside of that. But listen, if you don't turn to him, it's going to be an impossible turn. So we're talking to you now about the Great Awakening. We have just a few moments left. What was started in Lakeland, Florida, and the adversary came in to begin to really attack it, that God has rebooted it and put a fresh wind of what he's going to do in South Africa, which totally confirms in the fact of saying, okay, God says, look, America, you didn't want it. You know, you weren't going to support it. You weren't going to pray. You weren't going to get down there and do the work it took to be able to do this. Then I'll move over in the 95% of the population. I'll go to South Africa. And 5 years to the day.
Five means grace.
Yes, five means grace. Wow. And I want you to hear this word that's being read by Todd Bentley, who's Bob Jones has spoken over him, and who Rick Joyner, by the way, is one of his spiritual fathers. Listen up. He's reading this word from Bob Jones.
Now, in those meetings in Great Awakening, South Africa, Todd, what's being restored is what was lost. What you lost in Lakeland, Florida, is what's now starting again. But this time, it'll never stop, and you will do what you were supposed to do and go where Lakeland was supposed to go that it never went. It is restoration. He said it is a day of acceptance and a day of favor. Not a day of rejection, but a day of acceptance and a day of favor. And I'm telling you, God is opening and redigging some wells of anointing. Not just old wells. He's redigging. He's opening some new wells of glory, some new wells of anointing. He said, but this anointing will just keep going in South Africa. He said, it'll be an increase. I said, what are you feeling about what's happening right now? He said, it's increasing.
You think about it, that, and he goes on to say that America has a chance.
Yeah.
And the chance is we have to awaken. Awake, O sleeper, awake. This is one word that God had spoken to us. It's like, show me the glory. Yeah. Where's the glory, right?
Yeah.
Where's the glory? Being desperate and hungry. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the currency of the kingdom is desperation and hunger. Listen, it ain't going to happen religiously. It's going to happen because you're hungry. And quite often that comes with turmoil and turbulence and loss of things, but ever how it has to come. Mm-hmm. Get hungry for God. Get desperate for God. Let's don't lose this thing. Let's turn to him. Tell your neighbors. Begin to get them on VFN radio and have been watching VFN TV. It's time. It's time to turn. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.